Light Church near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where I hail from. I have a message this morning taken from the book of Habakkuk. And I've entitled it, A Work in Our Day. Now, I hope to speak more from Habakkuk when I return in November. There is a lot in this short 3-chapter book. Perhaps we don't know much about Habakkuk. It is difficult sometimes to place some of these minor prophets, as we call them. But as near as we can say, we believe that Habakkuk would have been in the time period just prior to the Babylonian exile. Now, the Babylonian exile is the exile of Judah. We'll remember that it was a split kingdom, and Israel had gone into exile prior to this during the Assyrian conquest. And so, as we see Habakkuk dealing with the issues of his day, we can recognize that he seems to fit in that time period. And so that means this places his message after the message of men like Amos, Hosea, and Micah, who would have been pre-Assyrian, both to Israel and Judah, but pre that Assyrian exile. It also most likely places him after the time period of Jonah and Nahum and Zephaniah, which would have happened probably during the Assyrian time period before Babylon conquered Assyria. So history tells us that the Assyrian exile most likely happened around 720, and the Babylonian exile around 586. So we place Habakkuk around the early 600s. And that means that he is placed in a time period with men like Jeremiah, and possibly also with Obadiah and Joel, which we heard about this morning a bit. The name Habakkuk means he that embraces, or he that wrestles. And we're not going to deal with Habakkuk's wrestling here this morning too much, but the book of Habakkuk really mirrors a bit the book of Job, and perhaps some of the Psalms as well, in a little bit of that wrestling with God and with his message. So let's take a look at the first chapter of Habakkuk. The first 4 verses I'm going to read this morning. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. We see a complaint from Habakkuk, and it's maybe a bit of the complaint that we hear in the song this morning that the lady shared with us. There's a bunch of violence in our world. People trying to conquer other people. People trying to force their will and their power on other people. Habakkuk's complaint continues. The Torah, the law, is neglected. People have strayed from following God's law and God's word. And then there's also the implication there in verse 4, perhaps, of corrupt leadership. Those who are not bringing about right judgment. And so as we recognize that Habakkuk is looking at the people of God there in Judah. But as we look around us, perhaps even in the wider church and in Christianity, we can recognize some of these same issues, some of the same violence, some of the same neglection of the law and God's word. Perhaps we can also see corrupt leadership, taking people astray. That's a bit of a bleak picture. And I don't want my message this morning to be bleak, because we have hope of something more. And we see God's response in verse 5. And I'm just going to start reading there. "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." God's going to work a work in Habakkuk's day. Now, I can imagine Habakkuk hearing that and rejoicing. God's going to do something about the problems that we see around us. We, in our world, can see, like I said, that violence. And so when we take that to God, we can be assured that he has a plan. But we need to be careful. Because if we keep reading there in verse 6, he says, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." And I can imagine Habakkuk having his heart sink as he hears this next part. God says, "I have a plan." That plan is to bring in the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. He says, he goes on to say, "They are terrible, they are dreadful, they are swift, they are powerful, they are violent, and they are even scornful." Now imagine complaining about the problems that you see around you, and God says, "I'm going to bring in your worst enemy." Whether that's politically, economically, socially, "I'm going to bring in your worst enemy." That's the plan. Now, we're not going to continue on to see how Habakkuk handles this too much. But Habakkuk doesn't accept it readily. And he lives up to his name as a wrestler when it comes to these hard truths. So this brings us to the primary question that I want us to think about today. How is God working in our day? How is God working in our world? Now, I'm not going to give you a specific answer this morning because I do believe that God works in and through us to bring about his work in many different ways. And I think we need to be attentive to his giftings and callings on us specifically, on us personally, as we try to seek out how God is working in our lives. But I'd like to give us a few hints at what the working of God may look like so that we can recognize it and so that we can be a part of it. So in Habakkuk's day, it was the Babylonians, which was unusual and unexpected. And I think we need to be prepared for God to work in that way as well. But as we continue to read the rest of the book of Habakkuk, we see Habakkuk's response, or perhaps a further complaint, and then we see God's response to that. And following that, we see a prayer from Habakkuk. And so I want to take just a look at a few quotes that we see throughout those two things, God's response and Habakkuk's prayer, that I think point to an even deeper way in which God is working in our world. Yes, he is, in Habakkuk's time, bringing in the Babylonians, but it's more than that. In verse 14 of chapter 2, God says, "The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Now, this is a phrase that shows up in Isaiah as well. And it, I believe, hints at what we've already heard about this morning. The coming of the Holy Spirit. A spirit that pervades his people, that anoints his people to go out into the world and fill the world with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It perhaps hints at what we heard about this morning in worship as well. Bringing all people to worship and praise God. At the end of chapter 2, God ends his response with the words, "Let all the earth keep silence before him," referring to God. That's what it's about. It's about coming to God in praise and worship and adoration, recognizing who he is above all the violence that we see in the world around us, trying to bring all people to glorify him. In chapter 2, verse 4, we see another hint, perhaps, of the work that God is doing. That work is stated in the verse, let me just read that, verse 4. "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." And we see Paul using this later in the New Testament as well. But it is moving beyond the idea that you are justified by being a descendant of Abraham. Instead, you are justified by your faith and by how your faith works in the world. This becomes even more clear as we jump to the book of Acts. And you don't have to turn there with me this morning. In Acts 13, we have the account of Paul going on his missionary journeys, taking Barnabas with him to Cyprus, and then following up in Asia as well. And one of the early places that he reaches is a town called Antioch in the region of Pisidia. Now, remember, Paul was sent out from Antioch, that was in Syria, and so we refer to this new Antioch as Pisidian Antioch. This is a town that has a large Jewish population. It also has many Greeks. It has, or Gentiles. It has many people who are seeking God, perhaps even coming to the synagogue, not as Jews, but as seekers, as those who want to hear God's word. Paul goes to them. Paul goes into the synagogue and he begins to speak, and he gives an incredible sermon. And I just want to hop over there for a second to read verses 40 and 41. And this is the very end of his sermon. He has delivered this sermon to the Jews and Gentiles listening, and he ends it with this warning. In Acts 13, 40, "Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Paul, using the very same verse that we read there in Habakkuk 1, verse 5, to warn the children of Israel that God is doing something even now that you may have trouble believing. You may have trouble understanding, even. We see that many of the Jews, did not heed the warning. After Paul delivered that sermon, the Gentiles wanted to hear more. And actually, many of the Jews wanted to hear more. But the next Sabbath, when they came together, there were so many Gentiles that many of the Jews grew envious. They grew envious, and they did not listen to that warning. They did not recognize the work that God was doing in their midst through the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul has a message for them, and he goes on to quote passages like Isaiah 49, telling the Jews that this was your calling too. From the beginning, that Isaiah was the one telling you about it too. You were the ones that were supposed to be reaching out to these Gentiles. And now the Gentiles are coming in. God is working among you, and you don't recognize it. How is God working in your world? How is God working in your day? you recognize that word. We're going to jump back to Habakkuk. And I'm going to read Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3. As I read this, I want you to think about the pictures that the Jews were thinking of as Habakkuk was, or as they were reading this prophecy, this prayer from Habakkuk. There are some pictures that show up that should help them to understand what's going on here and now. Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea, that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows, Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went. At the shining of your glittering spear, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of the of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his truth. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my hills. Chief musician with my string instruments. What are some of the images that you thought you heard there? Period of Jewish history that came to your mind? Sorry. Yes. The Exodus is probably the biggest one that I heard. Now there's creation, and perhaps even the judges show up for a time here. But the Exodus seems to be what Habakkuk is patterning his prayer on. And so I believe we find here another work that God is working. God is working a new exodus for all his people. We see the images of the Egyptians chasing at the Red Sea. We see God's voice at Mount Sinai, perhaps the plagues in Egypt as well, the pestilences. God is pointing to a future exodus, a defeating of evil, bringing the promise of justice to all and rescuing the slaves, the oppressed. In verse 2, he says, revive thy work in our days. What you did then, do again now. Bring us that Exodus. And as we saw, if we look back at Paul, it's not an Exodus for a single group of people. It's an Exodus for all people. An Exodus led by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The just are now defined as those who live by faith, who look around at the violence in this world, who look around at the way the world seems to work with power conquering power, and says, no, that's not the way the world really works. Jesus showed us how the world truly works, even though it doesn't seem that way. And we live by faith that is reality. So that the knowledge of the glory of God can fill the whole world. Just as Moses led the Exodus, and just as the pillar of fire led them through the darkness, so Jesus, the message of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit leads them now. The Holy Spirit, those flames of fire becoming a pillar of fire, leading us on our Exodus today. So, how is God working in our day? He is leading us on an Exodus, out of slavery to sin, out of slavery to self. He is leading us to a righteous living by faith, living by hope that he has given us, and living by praise and worship. It's tough to see in our chaotic world. And I don't want to portray this new Exodus as a form of escape, as a way to get out of this world. Because Jesus made it clear that we are in the world to begin the work of eternal life here and now, to begin the work of his kingdom here. So the Exodus is not us leaving. It's us remaining here and calling others to join us. So that means it's not just a future thing. It's not just a past thing. But it's here and now. His work is us entering into his temple in worship, in silence before him, recognizing his power and his way. It is recognizing future vindication, but also present struggling and wrestling. It is love for all people. It is good news made known for all people. It is working God's work. It is obeying God's voice now. That's faith, and that's how we are justified now. God is working, and he's calling us to join in that work. The Exodus is for all people. All people who are willing to believe in the Anointed One, Jesus, as God, appearing in the flesh to crush evil and usher them into the promised kingdom. So the work we are a part of is the proclamation of good news. It is the Exodus for all people. And that Holy Spirit, that pillar of fire, that guiding cloud, is available for all. In Paul's day, many Gentiles embraced this Exodus. Will we proclaim it for those around us? Will we call them to join in the work as well? These may be the laborers hired late in the day, getting the same opportunity and the same pay. These may be the prodigal sons who strayed from home in the days of Noah and the Tower of Babel, only to be welcomed back home by God, their Father, with open arms. These may be the Ninevites who immediately repented at the short, half-hearted message of an unwilling prophet. And these may be the evil Babylonians that Habakkuk saw God using to conquer them, who would later recognize this God of Daniel as the God of gods and the Lord of kings, who would later declare that the people of any nation or language who say anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses reduced to rubble. And that king would later say, "Then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does as he pleases with the army of heaven and the peoples of the earth. There is no one who can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?'" Now that's redemption. That's a God who cares about all his children. God is doing a work. His kingdom is filling the earth like the mountain in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. The rock that no hand formed came and crushed the kingdoms of the world, and that mountain filled the world. It's like the water covering and filling the sea until it's completely permeated. How do waters cover a sea? Well, waters are the sea. His Spirit is here today, like flames of fire burning in our hearts, like a pillar of fire leading us on in the work of a new Exodus. Are you a part of that work? God has proclaimed the Exodus, and the Exodus has begun. And our response should not be like the Jews in Paul's time, a response of envy and exclusion, but rather it should be a life of faith and a life of praise. Habakkuk's prayer, as you perhaps saw at the very end there, is actually also a song. It is intended as praise. He ends with these words in verses 18 and 19. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me walk upon my high places." And he says that immediately after he talks about the fact that there's no fruit growing. He says, you look around, the figs, there's nothing there. There's nothing in the stalls. Nothing is producing. Nothing seems to be the way it should be. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord," because he will bring forth fruit. And so, yes, we wrestle. Sometimes we wait on God, but God is working and calling us to join in that. And so we, despite the way the world seems to work, we say, no, God has a different way. And he is working, even if it's hard to see. That's living by faith. That's living by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close this morning with a prayer, and it's actually going to be a responsive prayer, so I want you to join in with me. And the phrase I want you to say is, "Come, Holy Spirit, come." And I will indicate that with my hand. At that point. So let's stand and we'll pray this together. Let's begin. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Work in us and in the world around us, beyond our belief, beyond our expectation.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Work through us and through your church, by our living faith and our adoring worship.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Fill our world and fill our lives as the waters cover the sea.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Spark a flame in our hearts with passion and a desire to serve.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
As a pillar of fire through the night, guide us in your work. Amen. You may be seated.